What could be wrong with wellness? The popular term seems to suggest an ideal approach to health, but the fact is that the multi-trillion dollar global wellness industry includes plenty of junk science and downright fraud. Here to pull the lid off is Christy Harrison, a journalist, dietitian, nutritionist, and intuitive eating counselor. She joins us now to share five big ideas from her new book, The Wellness Trap. Break free from diet culture, disinformation, and dubious diagnoses, and find your true well-being.
Hi, I'm Christy Harrison, and I'm a journalist, author, and registered dietitian specializing in disordered eating recovery. I wrote The Wellness Trap because over the years, I've seen so many people seek out wellness, only to be led into extreme diets and unproven and dangerous practices. And I've fallen into those traps myself as someone with multiple chronic health conditions. Today, I'm excited to share with you five of the key insights from my book. Insight number one, pursuing wellness often leads to disordered eating. There's a common belief in wellness culture that being well means eating almost nothing but vegetables and protein, and of course, being thin. Many influencers and alternative or integrative medicine providers advocate cutting out a staggering array of foods: gluten, dairy, grains, anything processed, even certain vegetables for supposed wellness. But these restrictions often make people fear food and can lead to some very disordered eating habits. Cutting out food groups, limiting your eating to small windows of the day rather than eating when you're hungry, or otherwise overhauling your menu is a big deal for most people. A major life change that can affect your relationships and interfere with your ability to take pleasure or find spontaneity in food. There are serious side effects to dietary changes. When you're following wellness culture's diet rules, they can often start to take over your life. This happened for many people I interviewed for the book, including a woman named Erin, who's struggled with psoriasis and several other chronic conditions for many years. She started working with an alternative medicine provider who told her she was intolerant of sugar, dairy, vegetables and fruits from the nightshade family, and many other foods. She started to see food as dangerous, and her diet became extremely limited. She cut out sugar completely for a few years, to the point where she was even making her own ketchup from scratch. She also was prescribed a long list of supplements and other treatments, and at one point she was taking at least 20 different supplements a day. Not only did she develop an eating disorder as a result of all this restriction, but her psoriasis didn't improve at all. In fact, it got worse. Diets like the one Erin was on generally don't have good scientific evidence behind them. But even if they did, it's incredibly difficult to stay on those diets long term without damaging your relationship with food and your mental, emotional, and social well-being. And if a way of eating detracts from those aspects of your life, can it really be called wellness? Insight number two, people who feel unheard or unserved by conventional medicine are especially susceptible to the harms of wellness culture. Like too many people, Erin had had frustrating experiences with medical doctors who dismissed her concerns or didn't seem to have time for her. She'd never gotten good treatment for her psoriasis or for other conditions, including migraines and severe chronic stomach pain. So when she started working with a naturopath, it felt like finally she was going to have someone listen to her, take her symptoms seriously, and figure out what was going on. Many people have similar reasons for being attracted to complementary, alternative, and integrative medicine, a $413 billion segment, about a tenth of the $4.4 trillion wellness industry. A 2017 report found that about half of Americans have tried some form of alternative medicine during their lifetime. About 20% have used it instead of conventional medicine, and about 30% have used it in addition to standard medical treatment. In a healthcare system where so many people feel like they're being given one-size-fits-all treatments and not seen as whole people, it's no wonder so many of us are interested in alternatives that purport to offer something different. Unfortunately, though, alternative and integrative therapies are in many ways untested and unregulated, and they can be downright dangerous. Take herbal and dietary supplements, for example. Supplements are legally prohibited from being tested for safety and efficacy before going to market in the U.S., the result of a 1994 law that was enacted thanks to significant supplement industry lobbying. Several studies have found that some supplements sold in popular nationwide vitamin chains may be adulterated with undisclosed pharmaceuticals and other drugs not listed on the label, like weight loss supplements laced with synthetic amphetamines. Even when a supplement is found to be unsafe, FDA recalls and warning letters to manufacturers often don't result in any changes. Harmful products may remain on store shelves for months or even years, with profoundly damaging effects. One study found that supplements contribute to 23,000 emergency room visits every year, with more than 2,000 of those people, 9%, going on to be hospitalized. Many people are wary of big pharma, sometimes with good reason, although sometimes those fears are being whipped up by someone trying to sell you something. But at least pharmaceutical drugs are regulated and required to be tested for safety and efficacy before going to market. With supplements, that's not the case. When you feel let down by the conventional healthcare system, you may think there's no harm in trying supplements or other alternative, wellness-oriented treatments, which are framed as being natural, holistic, and gentle. Unfortunately, they're not as harmless as they're made out to be. Insight number 3: wellness approaches can distract from the true cause of illness. I interviewed a woman named Jennifer, who struggled for several years with digestive issues, including constipation, bloating, and pain. Feeling frustrated by a lack of answers from conventional healthcare providers, she turned to a functional medicine nurse practitioner, who put her on a strict diet and supplement regimen, believing her issues stemmed from a supposed gluten intolerance, a common belief in many corners of wellness culture, even though Jennifer had no signs of it in blood tests. At first, Jennifer felt heard and understood by this provider, but then she had another bad flare-up of her digestive issues. Except this time, she started experiencing a new kind of pain that was sharp and persistent. She mentioned this to the functional medicine nurse practitioner, who chalked it up to systemic inflammation and said, essentially, that's just how it goes. Feeling dismissed yet again, Jennifer sought out another provider, this time a mainstream physician who specialized in digestive disorders. This new gastroenterologist actually did an abdominal exam, something the functional medicine practitioner had never done, and thought it might be her gallbladder, so he sent her for an ultrasound the following day. What they found was far worse. It turned out to be a rare but aggressive type of tumor, located in her pancreas and interfering with critical blood vessels. She ended up having surgery the day before her 38th birthday, and the surgeon told her that if they hadn't removed it, she wouldn't have lived to see 45. Of course, this is an extreme case, but Jennifer's experience highlights a troubling issue with wellness approaches. Many supposedly holistic providers can get so laser-focused on what they think is at the root of a person's problem, whether it's a food intolerance, a supposed fungal infection or parasite, a quote-unquote leaky gut, that they might overlook basic aspects of patient care and miss what's actually going on for their clients. And that can have deeply damaging and even deadly consequences. Insight number 4: social media algorithms facilitate the spread of wellness myths and disinformation. Back in the early 2000s, when I was first dabbling in wellness approaches, alternative and integrative medicine were still on the fringes. 2 decades later, they've exploded in popularity. Many wellness influencers have racked up millions of followers by promoting bizarre, non-evidence-based food restrictions and other out-there treatments. Celery juice is being hawked as a cure-all. People with perfectly normal blood sugar are being encouraged to wear continuous glucose monitors. And everyone is being made to fear gluten, even though celiac disease only affects 1% or less of the population. Social media isn't to blame for everything, but it does have a lot to do with the spread of these and other weird ideas about wellness. Even casually viewing or liking wellness influencers' pages can cause sophisticated algorithms to serve up increasingly extreme diets and harmful practices. These algorithms are designed to maximize engagement, to keep us on the platforms for as long as possible so that we can be served more ads. And unfortunately, what does that best is novel and controversial information. That's why extreme and unsubstantiated diet claims get amplified more than benign and commonplace posts about nutrition, leading users down rabbit holes of myths and disinformation. Recent reports have shown that teen girls who sign up for platforms like Instagram and TikTok seeking out healthy eating or weight loss advice end up getting pushed to pro-eating disorder content pretty quickly. But it's not just young girls who suffer. It's really all of us. Beyond even the algorithms, social media flattens sources of information so that doctors and scientists are presented in very much the same way as an influencer speaking solely from their own experience. And the influencer might have way more followers, lending them the appearance of being more trustworthy. Sometimes it's not even an influencer per se, but just a regular person whose testimonial about a certain wellness practice goes viral. There's certainly nothing wrong with sharing personal experiences. It's powerful and important in many cases, and it can help other people find connections and support that they aren't getting from the healthcare system. But in matters of wellness, it can be really dangerous to model your own behavior on a social media personality whose only real evidence is, "This worked for me." This flattening of information sources also creates a relativism that can easily be exploited by purveyors of mis- and disinformation. Not only does social media often give greater reach to influencers who may not know what they're talking about, but it also places well-conducted scientific research on the same footing as anecdotes and non-peer-reviewed preprint studies, blurring them all together in one endless scroll. In the process, it can create the illusion that all of these sources are equally valid, which may allow false information to gain traction. Insight number 5. We can free ourselves from the wellness trap. Lest this all sound too bleak, know that there are some helpful strategies for navigating wellness culture that I discuss in the book, and I'll share a few of those with you shortly. But before I do, I just want to note that individual behavior alone is not enough to free us from the wellness trap. We need change at the cultural, institutional, and policy levels to help undo the harms of wellness culture and create a society that truly supports well-being for everyone. In the book, I discuss several societal approaches that could make a world of difference, and those would take more than a few minutes to explain, so I'd encourage you to check out the book for more. That said, there are a number of actionable things you can start doing right now to help keep from getting ensnared in the wellness trap. One is to try to approach alternative and integrative medicine and the wellness industry in general with as much critical thinking and skepticism as you would conventional medicine. Don't assume that alternative medicine or supplements are any less problematic and profit-driven than their conventional counterparts, even if they're framed as being natural and holistic. In many cases, wellness recommendations are based on claims that are highly speculative or downright false. It's completely understandable to want relief from symptoms and to feel unheard or underserved by the conventional healthcare system, but just remember that the wellness industry capitalizes on those feelings, and be extremely wary. To help get back in touch with your natural skepticism, it's helpful to consider taking a step back or even a full-on break from social media, and recognize how it pushes us toward increasingly extreme content that isn't necessarily backed by good evidence or even any evidence at all. You might reflect on how social media pulled you down rabbit holes you hadn't planned on visiting, and spend some time getting back in touch with your own deeply held beliefs and values, without the influence of algorithms. In addition to setting limits on technology, it can be helpful to set boundaries with the people in your life, including perhaps conveying to any wellness culture adherents in your orbit that you love and support them, but that you're on a different path. If your friends and family members can't stop talking about their latest wellness plan, candida cleanse, or autoimmune protocol, you might share with them that those types of things have been harmful to you, and that for the moment at least, you'd rather not discuss the topics of health and wellness. Finally, when you do come across wellness information online, you can use a method called SIFT, which was developed by a researcher at the University of Washington named Mike Caulfield, who studies digital media literacy. SIFT stands for its 4 steps: stop, investigate the source, find better coverage, and trace claims, quotes, and media to the original context. SIFT is meant to help people think twice before reflexively sharing or acting upon unverified information. The process involves quickly moving away from the actual content of the misinformation and focusing on the context so that you're not wasting precious time trying to dissect dubious sources, because that's exactly what peddlers of disinformation want you to do. The goal of disinformation is to capture attention, and critical thinking is deep attention, Caulfield wrote in 2018. Whenever you give your attention to a bad actor, you allow them to steal your attention from better treatments of an issue and give them the opportunity to warp your perspective. So instead of doing a deep dive into misinformation to try to understand it from the inside, which is what we might traditionally think of as critical thinking, you're better off seeking out other, more credible sources to put the information into context. There's so much more to say about all of this, but I'll leave it there for now. Thanks for listening to these 5 insights from The Wellness Trap, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thanks, Christy. That was Christy Harrison with 5 big ideas from The Wellness Trap. Break free from diet culture, disinformation, and dubious diagnoses, and find your true well-being. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.